This planet is under siege. Satan's hold on it is like a iron grip. It is a world where terror and atrocity and anarchy commonplace, especially in lands where the gospel has never been a blessing and where God's word has never been set aside. There are countries in the world today where naked terror is an order of the day. I don't know about you, but I really have a hard time with this thing that happened in Libya. I was hearing some international reports about the security and things. They had three guys there. One Marine wasn't even supposed to be there. Only three guys guarding him. And there's a whole bunch of other things going on. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I grew up, I did not grow up in terror. When I grew up, we left the tractor out in the field. We left the keys in the truck loaded with wheat or grain. The keys were in the car. The doors were all locked at our house. We didn't lock our doors. If you wanted gas, you could walk up to our gas and just turn it on and pour it into your car, and you could drive away, and we wouldn't even know the difference. Because we didn't live in terror. I remember in September 11th, and I got a phone call from Great Falls here in the Philippines, and said, "Pastor," and they were going crazy. And I remember somebody said, "Let's take everybody to McCullough's." Let me remember that. That's probably the dumbest thing they ever did. You don't understand what a nuclear bomb would do if it hit here. Sorry. From here to 10 miles, you just scared the bejeebers out of these little boys and girls. You say, "Are you afraid?" "Oh, I'm concerned. I'm not afraid because I know that my God liveth."
Amen.
Some of you are on your tippy toes. You don't know which way to turn. You're upset about the gas price. Hey, you know what? Read your Bible and find out the Scripture says these days are coming.
Yes,
and these things have to happen before the other things will happen.
Oh,
it's okay. God answered prayer. When my great-great-grandparents came out of Switzerland and all the kind of things that the Roman Catholic Church was doing to them, and they fled for their life, they thought that was the end of the world. Paul the Apostle, under Nero. Oh, this is it. Let me tell you something. It's never so close in all. Just looking around what's going on. You read your paper today, it's like reading Ezekiel. It's like Daniel. It's like reading the Revelation. You ought to be so excited to see what God is doing. I don't know about this mass communication we have. And people say, "Oh, I don't know if that's good or not." The Bible says that in the last days you're going to see everything at one time.
Amen.
So what's wrong with that? Yesterday I'm sitting next to my wife watching the Mariners play the Orioles, and what great pitching then right at the last, poor kid. And all of a sudden my iPad goes, open it up. Here's Harold McKeon over by Seattle, and we're talking face to face on this thing. This is amazing. I love it. I can talk to my grandkids, see them little rascals run around, make faces. How many have the FaceTime? How many do that on your deal? And the kids make faces. Yeah. Fern, I'm really surprised you making faces like that. But anyway. People living in such lands as Psalm 91 must be constant court of appeal. It is a psalm which will come into its own full fruit, flowering during the great tribulation period, anticipates the needs of the small believing minority of Israel during the coming reign of terror. And by the way, I'm not going to be there.
Amen.
I'm not going to be during the tribulation period.
Amen.
Hebrews are, the Jews are, but I'm not. And according to the Word of God, you're not going to be. If you've entrusted Jesus Christ your person. Already the world is preparing itself, the coming great beast out of the sea. Observers of the contemporary culture believe that we are already entered in what they call the age of terror. In the United States alone, the FBI estimates thousands of people are members of a clandestine terrorist organization. They tell us that the relative quiet is really a deceptive calm, and that before long we can expect a major outbreak. And certainly we're seeing it today. I watched that September 11th memorial deal they had on TV. I don't know if you watched or not, but planned killing Americans. I really have a hard time with that. There's estimated over 50 to 100 terrorist organizations mobilized around the world. Water supplies in major city nuclear power plants are targeted scheduled attacks. They're already scheduled them. That's a really great thought. Amen. Terrorists are acquiring increasing sophisticated weapons. And some say that they have homemade atomic bombs that they can use, called the dirty bombs. And the psalmist who wrote this lived in a very violent age. And if the writer was Moses, we know that he and his people had just escaped the concentration camps of Egypt. And history's attempt at genocide and exterminating the race has been foiled only in divine intervention. And I don't know about you, but I think we've heard a little bit of Israel and Iran, who said Iran's just said they're gonna wipe them completely out. How many heard that? Yeah, the TV. The psalmist, if it was Hezekiah or prophet Isaiah, lived in threats of terror. They were oppressed day after day. Another northern power, the Empire of Syria. Syrians were in the national gangsters who backed up their campaign of terror and miserable war machines. And the world trembled whenever a Syrian king felt the need to prove himself on the battlefield. Nobody could resist the demands and surrender. Made public example, leading citizen, he would skin alive, fillet, take the skin right off them. I mean, they're still living. And impale on sharp stakes, and they would scream out their closing hours. Unspeakable torment. Boy, that'd be a great thing. The balance of the population, young and old alike, were deported to some far land and thoroughly dispersed in order to do what? Take away their national unity. And they might have still. I don't know about you, but how many grew up on a farmhouse or a house, but now it's gone? You grew up in a farmhouse, now it's gone. You want to go back? What's there to go back for? Right? That's exactly what they did that for. They come in into Jerusalem. They razed it, they call it. They literally come in, cut down every tree, bring in dirt and fill in the things, and there it was. It didn't look like anything like Jerusalem looked like before. So why go back? Syrians' nightmare haunted the ancient world centuries. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, said the psalmist. It might be terror of darkness, of defeat, of disease, or destruction at high noon. No matter. There is a hiding place. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at right hand, but it is not come nigh thee. Now, I want to remind you, what are we reading? We're reading the Psalms. The Psalms are written to who? The Hebrews. Now, of course, we can get benefit from the Psalms. These songs were not written for us. They're written for the Hebrews. and the interpreting of these wonderful psalms as part of the Hebrew hymn book and gospel songs written for those who trust in our gospel songs, what we sing after Calvary. These songs were before Calvary. There were old Hebrew hymns that belong primarily, essentially, to the nation Israel. And we need to exercise spiritual discernment before claiming such promises as blanket guarantees well-being today. Got to understand that. And when you see these promises, you got to remember that who were they promised to? The Hebrew people. Now, of course, the Bible said the Old Testament was given an example for the believers. Amen. And boy, I don't know about you, but I sure use the Psalms a lot. You don't want to be careful that you don't interpret something and say, well, this is what God said, and it'll never happen to us. God didn't say that. He said that to the Israel people, and he said, and some of these are messianic Psalms, and some of these are what we call millennial Psalms. And be careful now. The Old Testament blessings of the Israel include national protection and divine protection. So long as Israel walked in the steps, there was not a nation that could defeat him in battle, invader land. Is that true or not? They couldn't do it. As long as the people are standing for God, they had it, amen. The godly Jews can legitimately claim the promises in Psalm 91 in the hour of danger and could expect that though people fell all around by the thousand, neither the arrows nor the sinister pestilence could hurt them. But we are not Old Testament Hebrews. We are New Testament Christians. And for as God's blessings are essential spiritually than national and temporal, we have no unconditional guarantee from God that so long as we live godly life, we will escape the ordinary terrors of life. Example. Think of Corrie Ten Boom's story. How many heard Corrie Ten Boom? She had a sister and her father and made their house a refuge for persecuted Jews in their town. Surely God would protect them. Surely the terror that cometh by night would never come near them. Surely they'd earned that at least, the blessing of God for those who bless Abraham's seed, God will bless. Amen? One night, that dreaded knocking at the door came to the house, and interrogators followed and did the beating and the indignities, the nightmare ride packed like cattle cars in a boxcar, and final dreaded destination, Ravensback. Exposed, starvation, slavery, torment, atrocities all took place. They did not escape the barbed wire, the threats, or even present roll call. The yawning mass graves at the far end of the camp also claim Corey's sister. What about Psalm 91 when all this was happening? Its interpretation belongs to the Old Testament people in the Old Testament place walking the Old Testament piety. God has not promised us immunity from persecution. If he has, boy, I've missed out. Because there are times in my life and there are times in your life you've gone through some tough times. Amen?
Amen.
But he has promised so that it is through fire and flood and fear, lo, I will always be with you. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the promise. That's the problem to us. He'll always be with us. Someone told me the other day, he said, but preacher, that's just not fair. I said, well, one thing about it, he's always with you. And he'll get you through this thing. You may not understand it. You may not figure out some things that are going on in life. And it may be a time of trial and testing that God is allowing you to go through so you'll be stronger. So you'll draw nearer to God.
Good, preacher.
Corrie Ten Boom did escape Ravensbrück and became a missionary whose testimony captured the imagination of the world, but her sister was a martyr. But do we have no hiding place from the terror? Indeed we do. God does not keep us from terror. He keeps us in the terror. So the psalmist talks of the hiding place in times of trials and terror. We are going to have some really interesting times in the next few years. And it won't be long, and if this thing keeps going on in America, we've been the salt of the world for a while. And some of these churches that we do not stand with or stand by because of their doctrinal position on the blood, the virgin birth, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, salvation through faith only, they're still keeping us from being plummeted. The government is sick and tired of giving you a tax that you don't have to pay on when you tithe your church. They don't like that. There's millions and millions and billions of dollars that the government wants. Because when you give to Heritage Baptist Church, you can take that off on your income tax. Say, I gave this much to this church. By the way, it'd be a good idea to make sure that you put down what you really do. Because they're looking for people like that. They do not want you. They do not want you to be able to give to your church and get a check off on your taxes. Because you're taking their money. Also, I want you to look at the time of temptation. Now comes the dragon, the old serpent, the adder. Three chapters in the beginning of the Bible, we meet the serpent. First time, three chapters at the end of the Bible, we meet the serpent. For the last time, and all God's people said, amen. He does not appear often in person's sacred pages. He speaks only three times in the Holy Writ. But his influence is everywhere in this world. A sworn enemy of grace. We can expect temptation. The enemy will not leave us alone. He will even quote the scripture to lead astray, or rather, he will misquote it. Adding something there and giving it a cunning twist, a subtle influence. God has anticipated all that. And we look at a triumphal path, verses 11 through 13. For he shall give his angel charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy way. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. God has promised us an escort home. That does not mean that we can make daring experiments with God and do foolish, unscriptural things on the assumption that no matter what we are doing, nothing can go wrong. Like some kids get in a car. And I said, well, God's with me. I had a friend of mine, my coach, in college, he told us, he said, you guys want to know, hear something stupid? He said, when I was in high school, I went to a church and the preacher preached about God. And he said, I never heard such a thing. And I thought, wow. So he said, I'm going home, and on my way home, the devil put this in his mind. If God is, why don't you tell God, if you're really real, I'm going to close my eyes and drive down this road. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly had hoped that I wasn't coming the other way. And he said, I poured the coal on that old car and I went down the road, and finally I opened up my eyes and I was right down the road. And he said, well, God is real. Now, I don't know about you, but that's stupid. Especially I'm coming towards you. Or my wife is coming towards you, or the family's coming towards you. You see, the devil tried to do that with Jesus Christ, and he said, hey, cast yourself down from the temple. You remember that? Well, that would be stupid. Why do you want to do that? You're tempting. And that's when he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And some of you people tempt God on a lot of things. Well, if this is really real, I'm going to do this. Duh! I'm going to jump off this cliff and God is really there. The angel will catch me. What if your angel's in heaven having a service problem with one of his wings or something? Is God real? God take care of us? Yeah. But don't do stupid stuff. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. One striking example comes from the life of David Brainerd, missionary to Susquehanna Indians. One day, he cast himself down beside a stream to rest at evening shadow because he could not see the crossing of the river. He watched some beavers build a dam across the stream, but other eyes were watching him. A party of warriors sent out to kill him were watching him and biding their time. Presently, they drew near. The pale face was on his knees talking to the great spirit in the sky. As he prayed, they saw a rattlesnake glide alongside him and its ugly head to strike. And the forked tongue flickering near the face of Brainerd, deep in prayer, was unaware of it. Then, without apparent reason, the rattler glided away and disappeared under the brush. The great spirit is with him, said the Indians, and they stole away. The next morning, when Brainerd entered the Indian settlement, the whole tribe came out to meet him and gave him a prophet's welcome in their midst. That was just one incident. One of a few that revealed the incidents angels escort home. Perhaps if we spent more time in prayer as Brainerd did, we could know more about these things. So then, before us, there is a triumphal path. And at the end of it, a grand trampling of dragons when the Lord comes back with his own. I'm glad I serve a living God. I'm glad that God's still on the throne. Look at those tremendous promises. Verse 14 and 16. Not just one promise, but triple promises. One of the threefold cords of the Scriptures, which is not easily broken. It's set before us a reciprocal love. Because he has set his love upon us, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. It's set before a reassuring kind of liberty. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I'll deliver him, and I'll honor him. Set before us a rewarding kind of life. I don't know about you, but that'd be a good life to have. Amen? Wouldn't it be a good life to have reassuring that he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. Well, how's that come by? By serving the Lord. Giving yourself to the Lord. Finding things to do for God, amen. It sets before the rewarding kind of life. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Such is the ministry of temptation. The devil tempts to bring out the worst in us. God permits it so that it might bring out the best. And with every victory gained, another step is taken towards victor's crown. You got trials? I told somebody the other day, I said, man, I can't wait to get over this test. Because when I get over this test, I'll have another one. When I get over that, I have another one. Test after test after test after test. This is what a poet said. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out in the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than the light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hill and breaking a day in the lone east. He that dwelleth in the sacred place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know about you, but I sure like Psalm 91. And please be very careful that what I said to you tonight. I did not say that the promises of Psalms, they're not yours. I'm saying that some of the things in there, you got to be very careful you don't interpret them for you. I heard one old preacher says, well, I know that's for the Jews, but bless God, I'm one of the Jewish boys now. I got Jewish blood in me. So trust the Lord. Just trust in Him. You find something in this Bible that's good, and some old theologian trying to get you to disregard it, say, you know what? I got a life I got to live. I got to trust God. It just seems like I'm not saying exactly what I want to say. There are some things in prophecy that do not have anything to do with this. Therefore, understand that. You understand what I mean? There are certain things of prophecy. We are not going to go through the tribulation period. Jews are. So understand that. That's all I'm trying to tell you. There are certain things that are going to happen in this world that we are not going to have to go through. I'm glad about that. I'm really glad about that. I heard a guy say, well, we're going to go through the tribulation. I said, you can go through it. I'm not going to go through it. I've read the book, and it ain't pretty. Tribulation and great tribulation. I'm not going to be there. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of this place. And I'm part of the Holy Spirit. Bless God, He lives in my heart. And if He's not going to be here, I'm definitely not going to be here.
Amen.
So just, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, there are just certain there's certain things that are going to happen in the coming years. And certain things we don't need to have to worry about. But just keep using the Word of God. Just keep digging at it and enjoying it and being refreshed. Don't tell me angels don't help us. No, we're not ever supposed to pray to angels. You understand that, right? They're ministering spirits sent by God. Therefore, we should thank He who sent them. Don't you pray to an angel. Anytime the Bible, anytime anybody ever bowed to an angel, the angel said, hey, get up! You know why he did that? Because one-third of the angels went to hell because they wanted praise and adoration. And I'll tell you what, old John, he every once in a while, he'd fall down before an angel. Man, John, the angel said, get up, get up, get up, get up! He said, you don't worship me. But God did give us ministering angels. In fact, He said there will be angels unaware. People that will come up and help you and you're unaware that it's an angel. I got some stories about that. About how that God took care of me in a few places. And there's no way possible that could have happened. So I just said, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for sending one to come alongside and help me. Amen. Minister to me. Amen. Let us stand. Be dismissed. Continue to pray for the Koshus with Michael and, Alan. And God would certainly be with them. Father, thank you for tonight.